Speaking of Minnesota, do you guys want to see the house I might be buying?
I hope it's not in Minnesota.
Right, it is in Minnesota, unfortunately.
But why would you move there?
It's beautiful.
It's a great house.
Also, I can get this house for the price of a two-bedroom apartment on my block.
I really like Minneapolis.
I do too, yeah.
I've spent a total of 10 weeks there, living there. I like it a lot.
At the Game Informer offices, right?
That's right.
Tim, here's the problem with this house that I'm seeing. Yeah.
What's the problem?
Go on, Brandon.
What do we get?
Tell us the problem with this 6-bed, 7-bath, 10,631 square feet house.
Yeah, so
let's hear it.
You know, I'm looking at the exterior. I'm looking at the interior. I'm looking at the little balcony deck that it's got, and I'm looking at it's got some sort of like plaza zone almost. The big problem is that Captain Hitman from Hitman is going to come and murder you while you're just walking around in here doing your AI routines.
I've looked at it on Google Street View, and it has a rooftop that can be jumped onto from the rooftop across the street.
I mean, this is 100%.
You're asking to be Agent 47.
This is really a Hitman level.
It has three kitchens. In case anyone is listening, no, I'm not moving to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I made it one joke about it, then I whipped open Zillow, and I found a Hitman level in one click. And I was like, ah, man, I gotta live here. There's four kitchens in this house. Why?
With over 430,000 downloads, this is episode 213 of Insert Credit, a relentless array of video game topics presented every week to a panel of experts, its pace dictated by a horrible buzzer. I'm Alex Jaffe, and my most frequently worn video game t-shirt depicts the entire first level of Donkey Kong.
My name is Frank Cifaldi. I used to actually get these questions slightly in advance because I'm the first one who has to respond. It was more fair, but that doesn't seem to have happened in several months, maybe, Jeff?
All right, so, I'll do it again. I'll pick it up again.
My most frequently worn video game t-shirt. Oh, I actually know what it is. It is the FM Towns Marty logo on yellow.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good. I've seen your logo.
Very good.
I'm Tim Rogers, and my most frequently worn video game t-shirt, there's been a lot of them. If we're talking hours, it's long ago as it was, it's definitely that Donkey Kong Country shirt that I got back in November 1994. I wore that shirt a lot. I wore it to school once, never again, not a second time, and then I wore it around the house. As I got older, I started wearing Salem Sportswear basketball shirts, wearing Scottie Pippen 1993 right now, and then, you know, just kind of tell people I've always been wearing these. I don't mention the fact that I did used to sit around the house for all of high school. So yeah, that one put in the numbers. So that's my final answer. Hate that shirt, love that shirt.
Nice. I'm Brandon Sheffield. I used to be embarrassed about the idea of video game shirts. I still am a little bit, I have to admit. I don't think there's a good reason to be embarrassed about it, but I think it was like, you know, we would get these t-shirts shoved at us at events, and it just felt, you know, you always got like a triple XL shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It just felt like they were looking at you in a certain way, these nice, svelte PR people that were giving you this shirt, and they're like, you're going to wear this, dirtbag. That's unrelated to the triple XL. It's just they never had my size ever. And so I just got this stigma about it. But then later in my life, I was like, I got over myself just a little bit, and I decided to start wearing some of them. So I think probably my top video game shirts are either the one shirt I got from one of those events that I actually kept, which is the Halo 3 beta, multiplayer beta shirt that I've mentioned on the show before, or a Sonic shirt that I got from Target that was actually pretty good. And
you
just
have that pink Sonic shirt?
I got that pink Sonic shirt.
That says Sonic on it, and it's got the ring. Yeah, yeah. I wore that under a flannel shirt to see Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
Nice. I've taken to traveling with Sonic shirts because I feel that it lends me an air of harmlessness.
It also gets you there faster.
That's true.
Yeah,
gets me there
there's a
lot faster.
Speed bonus.
It's a good luck charm, yeah.
It did help me out one time, I'm pretty sure, when So I left my passport on the plane once. And the way that that happened is it was in my jacket pocket, but I had my jacket kind of stuffed under my seat.
I thought pocket was your dog, not your jacket.
I put my jacket on and got all the way out. And then I was like, holy crap, I got no passport. And so I started going back in the other way. And they're like, you can't go in here. And I was like, but I got to get my passport. And they were like, oh yeah, okay, we'll just go back to the plane. And I started going back there, and then they were like really freaked out at me because apparently I wasn't supposed to do that. But then some security guy came and he looked me up and down, and he was like, oh, I was expecting somebody else. When he looked at me and saw my Sonic shirt, he was, when they were talking about like somebody trying to get back on the plane, I don't know who he was expecting, but he wasn't expecting a small man with a Sonic t-shirt on. And so he was like,
I don't know how I would take that.
What I took it as, I was able to go get my passport. All right. So, you know, I went in there and I got it. Nobody got mad at me too much. And they, like, I had to go to an incident room and see if I was going to get like banned forever from flying or something like that. And once again, the guy kind of looked at me and he's like, so you, what were you doing? I was like, I dropped my stupid passport and did this thing. And he looked me up and down again. He's like, all right, never mind. I'm just not going to file this.
Get mad at a guy in a Sonic shirt unless you're Dr. Eggman.
Yeah, and so ever since then, I've been like, I'm going to wear Sonic while I'm traveling. Because they would literally look at my face, look at Sonic's face, look back at my face and be like, this guy's probably all right.
Frank, speaking of things that I may or may not have prepared you for in advance, you do have the first question.
It's totally off the cuff. I don't know where this is coming from. Do you remember, and you probably do, the first time you saw Super Mario 64?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Toys R Us, Indianapolis, Indiana.
I saw it at a friend's house.
How'd that go for you?
It went real good. I'll admit, the first time wiggling that analog stick, I got to play it at the demo station. Do you mean saw it in real life or saw
either
it?
Either way, interpret this question how you will.
Because I saw the Nintendo Power issue with the Space World report of a video game called Super Mario 64. My mom had not given it to me because she failed often to give me my important mail until the last minute. As we went to pick my brother up from the Amtrak station because he was coming back from college. And I was reading it in the darkness of my dad's 1990 Dodge Ram conversion van. Though the first time I played Mario 64 was at that Toys R Us in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is now a Tesla dealership, of all things. Kind of, you know, make of that what you will. Though I do remember it was quite weird to try to walk in a straight line with the analog stick the very first time. I recall the sensation quite acutely. It was like, it's so hard to walk in a straight line.
Brandon, you were at a friend's house?
I was at a friend's house, and he had it, I guess. He had just gotten the N64, and it was... This doesn't sound quite right to me, the timing of this, because I don't... It came out, what, 96?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 96. Because I drove myself to the Toys R Us.
I was 15. What month was it?
It was came out September.
Oh, man. See, I feel like I wasn't in high school yet, but I guess I must have been. Anyway, my recollection, which I'm now realizing might be kind of spotty and weird, and I don't know if it's true, is that we were in his room... And he was just rotating the big Mario head around and being like, look at this. Look how.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Grabbing and yanking on Mario's face.
Grabbing on Mario's face and moving around. And he was like, look how amazing this is. And I remember thinking, is it? Because I didn't. I mean, it wasn't like I was coming from a space of criticism. I just didn't have the framework to feel that that was amazing. I didn't know
you had to be pretty paraphernaliously elbows deep in the stuff of video games to find that impressive.
And I think I hadn't been at that time.
Because your only experience was with, if I recall correctly, your only experience was with the cool ones.
The cool video games? Yeah, just those ones.
The ones that it's cool to say you played back then, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty much just those.
No, in other words, you were not wearing a Donkey Kong Country pre-order t-shirt when you first saw Super Mario 64?
I was not.
Not that I was.
And then I don't remember the game. I don't think that I saw the game itself. I think
he's
I just like
yanking on Mario's face for
he's
hours.
Just yanking on Mario's face for a little while, and then I had to go. And then I feel like you didn't miss much, man. Saw the actual game. I don't know, on a TV commercial accidentally or something. But my recollection is that I saw it briefly, and then I saw Knights, and I was like, oh, this is basically even better.
You know, It didn't really occur to me until now how important that courtyard area before you get into Peach's castle really is.
It's for running around in.
Everybody was learning to control a three-dimensional character at the same time, and you needed this like safe open space.
That's the Mario secret, is that the first area is the tutorial.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Did any of y'all play Super Mario Odyssey?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I gotta admit, huge baby. I'm a huge child. I loved the Princess Peach's Castle world that you unlock after you beat the game. I could not believe how much I loved that part of that game.
I do have a really severe criticism of that area will get into very briefly before describing my own Mario 64 sighting, which is that I was playing it two-player with my wife because you could have one person control Cappy, the other person control Mario.
We get it. You're married. That's a joke.
So, you know, you're looking for stars. That's the whole gimmick there, is that you're looking for stars.
Yeah, there's like, how many are there? There's like 120 stars?
Something
in
like that.
In that one?
There's so many.
Yeah.
So you go in that castle, and what's the first thing you do if you're looking for stars in that game and you enter Peach's castle?
I don't know.
You look up in the spotlight.
You look up at the sky, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you cannot do that in two-player mode. You cannot position the camera in a way that triggers that star in two-player mode. So I spent a long time going, seriously, there's not a star here? Those morons? Like, why would they not do? It is the only star that you can't get in two-player mode. For some reason, just that you have to do first-person camera in one-player mode to get that star.
It might just be they never assumed anybody would play that far.
Yeah, man, that's not true. I don't know. And then for Mario 64, for me, it was either EGM or Next Generation, you know, a several page spread explaining the game. And my recollection, and this, I think this, seeing this game for a lot of people is just such a defining moment, was that I barely could comprehend that I could walk backwards into the back of the screen to go check out that tree back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that was an actual new thing. I mean, at least for people who, you know, didn't have computers, I guess, weren't playing Doom or whatever. Right. But, you know, it just, I didn't know it was possible to have a 3D space. And that's the final answer there.
Has it been long enough now to say that I don't think Super Mario 64 is very good? Am I allowed to say that?
That's I don't like that game.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't been long enough. It has to be 64 years.
That's a joke. It is a good game. I just, I'm not the hugest fan of it.
I have tried to play it so many times. And I bounce off of it so easily.
It's got a weird deadness to it. Super Mario Odyssey made me think, man, it was such a joyful game to just play. And I know it's just a simple, stupid, like a children's game. And it's like, there's a whole lot more. I wish they'd just keep milking that instead of whatever else is happening.
It's weird to hear you guys say that about Mario 64 and not me. Mm. It's confusing.
Well, you didn't have the sacred cow experience.
Considering all video games as a whole, what's better, ranged weapons or melee?
Shoot.
Shoot is
right. I say, why toast when you can roast? And I would go with this, a spear. Perfect combination. Perfect combination.
That's, yeah,
a spear is a melee weapon, technically. So I'm saying melee is best. I actually like what I would call a short-ranged weapon. A short-ranged weapon. For example, if there were any really good, hard, sticky, frictive, heavy, slow, pumping locomotive vintage action games where your character uses, for example, a whip, multiple lengths of his body. It's like a shotgun blast that hits enemies an exact specific point in space forward. I think that's far more compelling to experience than a gun or a punch. I don't know.
This is not a good game, but Power Blazer or Power Blade on the NES is a game about
Power Blade.
Throwing a boomerang around. And, you know, that could be really good. It's not in that game, but good short range, hard hitting.
It's still part
thing.
of my tiny Mr. NES collection. It's still it's one of the games that made it onto my NES core, Mr.
Have you played Power Blazer?
I have Power Blazer on there as well.
Is that about a jacket?
Yeah. That's a really interesting one to compare and contrast. And the only reason that it's on my brain is that it's in the newest episode of Crontendo. So go watch that, folks.
Crontendo? Is that the about smoking weed and playing Nintendo?
Yeah, Chronic Nintendo. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think I kind of agree. I like boomerangs. There's a game called Crosswyber where the green Sentai suit that you can change into has a has a boomerang, and I pretty much always choose that. There's a lot of boomerangs in PC Engine games for some reason. But I also like the whip. I do think that what both of those kind of indicate to me is that it's nice to have a visually trackable and interesting animation that you can see the weight of. And I think that's an important factor of it. With that whip, it feels so weighty and like it, you know, knocks enemies off into oblivion because it's so deliberate in its motion, especially if you look at like Castlevania Adventure Rebirth. It's just this whoosh, perfect, powerful animation thing. Something like that, I think, is good. And I guess technically a whip is a melee weapon, but I don't know.
I consider it like a ranged melee weapon. It's an interesting weapon.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the shotgun in Metal Slug, for example, and that's serves
basically
a similar
melee weapon. Yeah,
yeah, it serves a similar function. It's like two lengths of your body away that you can shoot something, but it's very powerful.
But I do think so, Frank. When you say a boomerang, because like in Power Blade, the boomerang doesn't go very far, right?
Yeah, it goes a little further as you power up and
as you power. Yeah. Kind of like the whip in Castlevania.
But it is a ranged weapon that like draws a neat triangle. You know, I think there's something cool there.
Yeah, I think. I mean, even like the boomerang suit in Super Mario 3D World, that kind of opens up. It just makes me think boomerangs are really cool.
I think they might be.
Yeah, and it's got such cool idea, like possibilities. Like imagine an enemy you can only hit from behind, and you have to use the boomerang. You have to like throw a boomerang, then run so that it comes back to you and gets him in the back. That sort of thing is fun to think about. It just all comes down to, if we're going pound for pound, video game history, game for game, I feel like ranged weapons surprisingly have lived up not really too much at all to their potential. Despite how many, the just buckets of games that are all about guns, I think they haven't done nearly as much with ranged weapons as they can. And I feel like melee weapons fell out of favor as a... It's apparently real hard to make a melee weapon in 3D, according to many armchair game designers. There's good 3D melee weapons. They're just not in Dynasty Warriors. Anybody who's kicked a guy in God Hand and had him fly across the level knows melee's where it's at.
Well, I was going to say that I think my answer might actually be melee because it opens up the possibility of the end of the combo. You don't get the end of a combo often with weapons.
Yeah.
Even ranged weapons. I mean, but you do often in just pure melee combat get that really satisfying, you know, final blow. And it's usually there's some risk reward and getting to the point where you can do that, you know, and especially in a brawler when other guys are coming after you or whatever. And you've decided to stick with punching this dude in particular because you want to get that really satisfying final blow on him. I think that might actually be the answer for me.
All I'm going to say is there's never been a Super Smash Brothers ranged.
That's true. Yeah,
that's true. And that's probably
a point in ranged's favor.
Well, give Fortnite another 10 years. And that's that's once they get Mario. Once Mario appears in Fortnite,
we're there.
That's the end times.
What are some video game resources that more people should know about?
Resources.
It's a good question.
Gamefly, you could just rent a game by mail. It's amazing.
Oh, crikey, mate.
That's kind of a joke.
Yeah, the number one video game resource that more people should know about is there's a YouTube account called Replay Burners. Replay Burners posts 60 FPS full playthroughs played expertly well. They have 120,000 YouTube subscribers, so I feel like that's about as many YouTube subscribers as I have. So I feel like it's a nice small number, and that keeps them relatively obscure. If you want to see beautiful reference quality video capture, 60 FPS arcade games, and I'm talking like it expertly played very well, check out Replay Burners.
Subscribing right now.
It's a beautiful YouTube channel if you have some sort of an Apple TV or a set-top box of a variety to just put on in your living room. They have playlists. I'm looking at right now. They have a Capcom playlist, an SNK playlist, Taito, Sega, Namco, Konami. There's 184 Taito games, full playthroughs, 60 FPS, all of them, of games you've heard of and games you definitely ain't, or you're a liar.
2 days ago, they uploaded YY Jockey Gaiden.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So, Brandon, you know about Replay Burners? You know about Replay Burners, right?
Yeah.
I feel like not enough people know about Replay Burners. I feel like Replay Burners is beautiful. I feel like if we all
just watched replay burners instead of tweeting about the TV show we didn't watch or whether or not Alec Baldwin did pull the trigger. I think the world would be a wonderful place.
I'd just add to that in general, the term long play to your search is probably the best way to actually watch someone play a game. Because for the most part, and there are exceptions, for the most part, it is watching a video of someone playing a game who knows the game as they opposed game. To trying to learn it from scratch. So,
But they're also not rushing through it. It's a long play.
And not putting their own commentary over.
Yeah, they're not talking.
Yeah, no commentary.
I had a really sad experience recently where I was, I won't call it out specifically, but I had been watching this video series of someone bringing a beloved video game to the Genesis. It was a game that was not on the Genesis originally. And these videos were pretty cool because they would just show what they were doing, put subtitles under it, and it was a nice, relaxing watch. But then recently, they were like, hey, guys, I finally got a microphone.
Oh, no. No.
And that was exactly, I was sitting on my toilet. And I was like, oh, no.
Ask not for whom the hey guys tolls.
The guy's voice is fine. There's nothing really particularly wrong with it. But as soon as he was like, and guess what? I got a microphone. And then it shifts to him talking. He was like, yeah, so it took me a little while to get a microphone because I had to do this thing and I had to do that thing. I was like, yeah, this is exactly it. This is exactly the thing that I don't want.
Anyway, it is. Actual good resources, though.
But resources. Good resources. Yeah, resources. I had another one, which is GDC has most of their talks up in the vault. And so you can listen to talks from forever ago. Some of them are just audio only and stuff, but they got it available so you can actually listen to that stuff. That's pretty cool.
We got
some
a bunch of really old GDC cassettes that haven't been digitized yet, going back to I think 94, that I'm pretty excited to.
Yeah, you and I picked
that's
those
right
up
yes you were
the
there
maid,
yeah.
Right?
And we actually have permission from GDC to post them and we want to do transcriptions as well, which I think will be really cool. But a couple quick ones, just Mobi games in general.
Yes.
Is a really, really good resource for just looking games up and seeing what they look like. And
that's where I get 90% of the box arts that I use in my videos.
They just got purchased, though.
They did not get purchased. They were purchased by AntStream a little over a year ago, I think.
Oh, a year ago? Okay.
As of right now, the current Atari has the option to purchase Mobi games from AntStream as part of an investment deal for $1.5 million. I don't know how you make $1.5 million from Mobi games. I believe it to be impossible. Yeah. But God, man, that, you know, Mobi games was acquired by Gamefly like forever ago. You know, the best resource, the first that we opened to this question.
You
right?
just rent video games by mail.
Yeah, it's amazing. But they bought Mobi games for some reason, and then they kind of it kind of got back into private hands, and it was looking good. And then for some reason, AntStream bought them, and now Atari might buy them. And it's just it's getting passed along from company to company who thinks that for some reason you can monetize Mobi games. And as it gets passed, it becomes worth more and more money for no reason because it's being sold. So it is just it's
story
in this
of my
weird
life right there.
Limbo where it's just it's gonna die, dang it, because these dang corporate interests. And every time someone buys it, the community that does all the content is like, I don't want to make content for these rich jerks.
Yeah. We need some sort of nonprofit Mobi games alternative is what you're saying.
We need someone to buy Mobi games and donate it here as a tax write-off. That's what
all
we
right.
need.
Yeah. 1.5 mil?
1.5 mil.
I'll admit, I don't have that much on
okay, me. Thank you for your honesty.
If I had $10 million, I would think about it.
Yeah.
Contrary to what my haters believe, I don't have $10 million. So... I don't even have a billion.
This podcast was recorded in 2021 when Tim did not have $10 million.
Who knows how much money I have now? Now that for you, the future viewer, probably $4 or $5. I just want to reiterate, replay burners, young people are always emailing me with tips. How do I get cool taste? Well, I'm watching, when this podcast started, I had a 60 FPS playthrough of Cyberlip. By SNK playing on my computer monitor.
I know about
how do you
one.
Get good taste? You watch a bunch of stupid videos on replay burners of games you've never heard of.
Or playing.
Or games you have. Of course, I'd heard of Cyberlip. I've known that game since about 1991. Big expert, big fan of that game. Love it. I love how your guy has sunglasses in it. Yeah, and then you just watch enough of these, and you either develop good taste or you learn how to fake it convincingly. And also World of Long Plays. Frank says Long Plays. World of Long Plays, you can use their they have downloadable MKVs of full playthroughs of games, and many of them are beautiful quality. Not just the YouTube channel. There is a YouTube channel, though they have a forum where you can just download these big MKVs and then just sit around with them on, you know, in the corner of your monitor while you're doing work or whatever. It's real neat. If you don't have time to play a game,
I'm going to watch them where you play.
Yeah, you learn a whole lot of stuff.
And the Internet Archive, baby.
Yeah,
the Internet Archive.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
The Internet
Archive. Text searching the Internet Archive printed material, which I believe I kind of taught you to do, Jaffe, right?
Yes, you did. That's paid off huge.
And I think I taught you and or Tim my secret Googling formula for finding weird stuff in games via their screenshots.
I may or may not have filled an entire 1 terabyte SD card with PlayStation 1 games that I can now play on an actual PlayStation hardware on my television.
From the Internet Archive.
Yeah, all thanks to the Internet Archive. And there were a couple other places I had to go. I had to go to some darker places to get a couple of these games. Though, Daddy's got PlayStation.
So far as domain.
Terms to remember when searching the Internet Archive for ROMs. Redump and no intro.
Redump!
No intro.
Redump is a gold mine.
What's the stupidest way you've ever died in a video game?
I took a redump. Mario yelling sound effect. That's you. That is exactly what it seems like.
Thank you.
Good one.
What that means.
Good answer.
I mean, I have thrown grenades against a wall right next to me about a dozen times in my life, probably.
Sure.
I mean, does that count just dying on purpose? Like just making your guy die because it looks funny to include in a YouTube video?
Oh, listen, that was not on purpose.
I stood on the hood of an SUV in Cyberpunk and slashed it with my Mantis blades, which were cybernetic blade implants that are I paid $100,000 to have built into my arms, which in doing so, I didn't realize a nice subtle dystopic touch is you can never revert to having normal unaltered hands again.
Wow.
Because I had to reload an old save. I had to like start the whole game over basically just to get the ending where you can see the character's arms and not have the cybernetic markings on them. So shout out to anybody who noticed that detail in my video. Nobody did so far. I was still on the hood of a car and I just slashed the SUV while the driver put her hands in front of her face as though to shield from like a bright sunlight. And I just slashed the hood of the car till it blew up and it killed me. And that's my favorite looking video game death that I've suffered. And it's pretty stupid, but it was on purpose. So that doesn't count, right?
Not so much.
Yeah,
but it's a good story.
Oh, it's still stupid. I think it's
pretty stupid.
It's stupid in the other way, not in the like unintentional way, right? Like, I didn't mean to do it that way. It was like Tim went and created stupid. It's still stupid.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks real good. Looks real stupid as well.
I will amend my judgment.
I know that I've got some real good ones where I totally own gold myself to death, but I can't actually place any of them right now. I know they're out there, dadgummit. Yeah, it's a tough one. I wish I had had a. I need an Internet Archive for my brain, if possible.
Would make this show a lot easier.
Search funniest deaths.
Funny physics fails. That's a good resource
mm-hmm.
to type on Reddit.
I've been talking to somebody while walking in a video game and just walk straight off a cliff.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Got the camera trapped under the ice in the Big the Cat stage of Sonic Adventure. And I was dead in that I had to reset the game because I got the camera trapped down there and there was no way to get it back.
Oh, wow. Man. During one of the more dramatic endings of Cyberpunk 2077, I got a HUD element frozen on the screen and I had to reload a save. So I found a swimming pool in this billionaire's mansion and I drowned myself in it. It took a long time for my character to die. And then when I died, I realized that the ending doesn't let you make any saves. So it took me all the way back to the beginning of the mission.
Well, you got the Sunset Boulevard ending.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I was Great Gatsby-ing myself. I feel like the game Red Dead Redemption 2 was a neat moment in my life as a person who professionally engages with video games because it managed to surprise me in a whole bunch of ways, right? It did a whole bunch of stuff that actually felt pretty ridiculously new. Like your character's so heavy. The horse is so heavy. The gunplay feels so inaccurate. You fire a bullet and you can miss from like 6 feet away, just like real cowboys, right? It's all this weird, heavy logisticality baked into the game. And I had just played through Red Dead Redemption 1. So one of the stupidest ways I ever died in a video game was underestimating the gumption of my own horse in Red Dead Redemption 2 and slamming at about 60 miles per hour, like right into a tree, killing both me and the horse in a horrific, bloody conclusion. It was kind of amazing. It was one of the first things that happened to me in that game. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that. Because, you know, I just played Red Dead Redemption 1 again, right? Where it's kind of arcadey in comparison. Was not prepared for that, man.
This one's not interesting, but it is stupid.
Great review for the podcast, by the way.
I think it was Shin Megami Tensei 4. One of the Shin Megami Tensei games.
Is that the one where you're a samurai?
Or more of a samurai, as they
samurai.
Say. In the, samurai.
Why did they pronounce it that way?
It's very strange. They clearly say the word summer with the word I after it.
I'm still pet beefing on this 10 years late, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pet beefing.
Yeah, me too.
It's a new phrase for everybody.
I got charmed. Everyone in my party got charmed and just slowly killed each other to death. And there was nothing I could do about it. That was a rough one. It was just a real bad luck of the draw. It was incredibly stupid, but not funny.
Yeah, there's a... Speaking of incredibly stupid, but not funny, there's a whole lot of that in this world lately, huh? You know what I mean.
All right. I want you all to really think about this next question philosophically.
All right.
What's the difference between a Bizarro and a Wario?
A Wario. So Bizarro Superman, when he leaves a room, he says bad bye, right?
Yeah.
That's a
joke. No, he says bad high.
Bad high? Elaine on Seinfeld said bad bye. She said, shouldn't he say bad bye?
Very good.
She was wrong. It should have been bad high. So Bizarro Superman is the opposite of Superman, has the opposite aims. Wario is, he's Mario upside down. He's upside down Mario, but he doesn't walk on the ceiling. Or does he?
No, he doesn't.
Well, they don't have opposite aims. They both want to collect gold coins. So they have similar interests.
Yeah. They have the same voice actor.
I feel like Wario is Mario's worst traits magnified.
It's his shadow self.
Worstio.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't know, he's let himself go even more, you know, so that could be a reflection of Mario's own body image, right?
He's more violent.
So wait, what Superman villain is closer to Wario than Bizarro Superman?
Cyborg Superman.
Cyborg Superman.
Hank Henshaw.
Hank Henshaw from the 90s. Cyborg Superman.
Is that from The Death of Superman?
He is. From Reign of the Superman.
No, he's from The Return of Superman.
The same period.
Reign of the Superman.
Reign of the Superman, yeah.
He's from the one with the white bag. Not the black bag.
Even I know this.
I figure it had to be something like that because I was aware of it. Right. And that was the last time I was aware of that stuff.
There was like the cyborg one. There was Steel. There was Superboy. What was the fourth Steel. One?
Eradicator, who was like Superman Terminator. Okay. He had a yellow visor.
What was the deal there? It was like Superman died and his DNA was like split or like he like blew up. His soul was infused.
Superman seemed to die and four people showed up either claiming to be Superman or claiming that they could replace Superman. And the question was which of them would be the real next Superman. And of course, it was just
Superman
chosen.
Oh, with longer hair.
Wasn't Superman like killed by a Soul Calibur final boss? Doom shotgun demon sound effect.
He was, really. Yeah.
He was, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I remember is that it was a Soul Calibur final boss who killed him.
Transcending time.
How does he cut his hair if it's so tough?
He cuts his hair. This is addressed in the comics. He cuts his hair with his own heat vision reflected off a mirror.
Oh.
Why doesn't his heat vision burn a mirror?
Very good question. Because it's heat.
Is it a fancy mirror?
I think because he can control how hot the heat of his vision can burn.
But then how does it become so hot that it cuts his hair?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Explain that, Alex Jaffe.
Has he ever tried to trim his eyebrows with his heat vision and then accidentally destroyed his eyes?
Yeah, that's why Superman is blind now.
Oh, is that my, can I write that?
Super Daredevil.
Yeah, I'll write it. Super Daredevil. Super Devil. Would his eyes grow back? Or is he not Wolverine?
I don't think he has regenerative properties. But I guess he kind of does because he came back from being killed by Doomsday. It's just, he doesn't get hurt that often that it comes up.
I thought his name was Apocalypse.
Okay, here's another Superman question. If he's all strong because he came from a high gravity planet and also he has heat vision, whatever.
You think you're getting John Carter mixed in with that.
Why don't his muscles atrophy after hanging out on Earth for so long, like they do in every other sci-fi thing?
It's the suns.
Yes.
It's the red sun of Krypton.
Yes, he gets his power from Earth's yellow sun.
Yeah.
What I lack in knowledge of DC Comics, that much, much sought after DC Comics knowledge, I have in abundance for the works of Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Right.
You're thinking John Carter.
The gravity thing was true for Superman up until the 50s. But then they had to explain, wait, but why is Supergirl super strong?
It's because the estate of Edgar Rice Burroughs sued. That's not true.
No.
They should have, though.
It's probably because I was watching some old, Fleischman, what is it?
Fleischer,
yeah.
Mr. Fleischman.
Yeah, that's during the kind of John Carter.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the question of Wario's.
Yeah, so, let's try to imagine who is, I think a good way to approach this is who would actually be a Wario, let's say we're making a new character, say DC Comics comes to us and says, we like this Wario guy.
Yeah.
Right? Can we make a Superman version of Wario? What would that guy be like?
Okay. So I think I agree with Jaffe that Wario is a dark reflection.
Yeah.
So I'm sure this has happened in Superman comics at least a dozen times, but it would be someone, it'd be General Zod, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it's someone who's like, oh, I've got these great powers and I do not feel a great responsibility.
So we're saying it's nature versus nurture here.
Yeah. Or it would be like Superman in the Injustice story, where he wants to save everyone so badly that he becomes a tyrant.
That's a video game. You brought it full circle.
Yeah, there we go.
Wario would never do that.
Yeah, I don't think so. He doesn't want to manage everybody.
Wario just wants job security, and he wants to not wants to not have to worry about anything.
I don't think Wario is a greedy version of a base character. I think Wario is an exaggerated version of the worst traits.
Yeah, because Mario does collect coins the time.
Yes, exactly. Mario's Wario is like that because he's the Wario of Mario.
Well, okay, so let's just say who's Bizarro Mario then?
Right.
There is no Bizarro Mario. So Bizarro Mario is Shigeru Miyamoto, who suggested to players of Super Mario Brothers who had beaten the game too many times that they now found it easy, he suggested try playing it without collecting a single coin.
Okay.
So that's the difference between Wario and Bizarro Mario.
Bizarro Mario doesn't collect coins. He doesn't try to rescue the princess.
But what does the player who takes Shigeru Miyamoto's suggestion to heart look like? Which guy in school is that? We're going one step further. Which guy in your elementary school is the guy who actually beat Super Mario Brothers without collecting a single coin? It's probably your brother's friend, your brother who's 2 years older than you. His name is Heath, and he wears bifocals, even though he's 11. He's probably very rich right now, and he could beat Ninja Gaiden as well. That's the difference. That's the anti-Wario.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
We're going on celebrity sightings now. Let's talk about what's your best celebrity sighting.
Probably told mine, but just in case, I was at a bathroom in a Las Vegas casino / hotel with a movie theater. There's a film festival going on, and I was peeing in a urinal, and then a man came not to the urinal right next to me, you know, good enough to put one between us. It was John Ritter from Three's Company.
Oh man, he's nice. Dead as good heck.
One. And then he died.
You know. Right
it,
there.
Was it immediately?
I
after?
Also peed next to Will Eisner, inventor of the graphic novel, and then he died.
Oh
as well.
Man.
Shoot.
Man, don't pee next to Frank.
Why did you kill Will Eisner?
I don't know.
I peed next to Shigeru Miyamoto, and then he told me to never collect coins in my video game.
Welcome back to Insert Credit. It's time for us to dive into the dirt bag. Y'all know what that is. We select a question submitted to us at patreon.com/insertcredit, where by subscribing, you can get access to that question form. You could also get access to regular bonus episodes.
Ooh.
We just dropped one.
Oh, and also one other thing they can get.
What?
A surprise.
Ooh.
I can't tell them what it is yet, though there is a surprise.
They'll find out.
When you least expect it.
They will find out.
I'm not even kidding. That's not some sort of weird joke. There is a surprise. So just be on the lookout, everyone.
Be on the lookout. This question comes from Gotcha Man, who asks, what is the best single button press in video games?
Is it the Castlevania whip?
Does the space bar count? Because when you jump in Quake 2 and your guy goes,
that's a button. Yes, that is a
button.
Or is a key a button?
Is there, or I think a space bar is sort of a lever. That's not a lever. Yeah. It's not a lever. It does a mine's got two mechanical switches in it. I like my space bar. Single best button press.
Man, that's a hard one.
I devote my life to thinking of what, how much satisfaction can one pack into a single button press?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Maybe we should think about whether we're talking about the result of the button press or the best button to press. I assume it's the former.
That's true. I mean, it could be either. I would say any key from the middle of a Philco Majestouch keyboard with the cherry blues, that's the most satisfying button to press.
I mean, I have to disagree because I cannot stand the sound of that.
Well, you should try, maybe you should try cherry browns or cherry reds that don't make the same sound.
Whatever kind of a one that makes almost no sound is the one that I need.
There's a bunch that don't make any sound.
I am with Brandon that I'm not really a fan of loud keyboards.
I mean, I literally cannot deal with them. It's a misophonia thing for me. I cannot listen to them. Yep. That's the word on the street. So, I mean, I guess we're probably presuming that it is the result of a button press and not just the press.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a.
How about a pinball one?
Interesting.
So for me, it is the Terminator 2 pinball machine where your plunger is actually a shotgun and you press the trigger of the shotgun as a button and it blasts the ball into the field.
That's I honestly think just generally plunging a pinball is a really good feeling.
That ain't a button though.
Even, it's not a button. Yeah, it's just, there's the, just the feeling, even when the spring has a little friction and you can feel it kind of grinding. That's good. It's good stuff, Jerry. I think pressing a pinball flipper button and having the pinball or the flipper move is kind of exciting because it does make that loud clack.
Yeah.
It also has a tactile movement to it. It kind of flops around a little bit.
You can hold it.
When you feel it and it's real, you know, it's real feedback. It's not like a signal being sent to your controller to shake or whatever. When you hit that button on the pinball machine and the flipper goes up, like you actually feel the vibration of a flipper going up as you press the button. It's very nice.
Frank, maybe you can help me, or maybe any of you would help remember this, but isn't there like an 80s game where like the majority of the time you're moving around, there's like a very specific small window in which you have to hit a button and otherwise you don't hit a button. And so the button press itself becomes a like a much more important and weighty thing because it's like do all this stuff for a long time and then suddenly hit this button one time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, nothing's coming to mind, but
I feel like I played one of these at like California Extreme.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm feeling this as well. But if that's not a real thing, then that's a good answer anyway. If we'll design a game.
We'll just make it as one.
If Pac-Man had to, you had to press a button to activate the power pellet or something.
Right. Yeah, something like that. I also have a vague feeling there might be a pretty good like a QuickTime event answer to this possibly, but it's very rarely a single button press. It's usually four of them and then one of them is pretty funny or interesting.
I like the limited desperation move button in a good brawler. It's like Colossus in X-Men from Konami, for example. That's a really good single button press.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you're doing your thing and people are ganging up on you and you just slap this button as hard as you can and they all die.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the magic button in Golden Axe, for example, is another example of that. You've been storing up magic throughout the playthrough and then you decide to unleash it when you decide to unleash it. And it's a button that you hit only when you need to do this magic attack.
So it seems like a tension release button press is where we're going.
Yeah, something like that.
Because your example with the arcade game seems like that as well.
Mm-hmm. See, I think another way to think about this question would be there's like a very meticulous situation where it's like in my video game that I made one time, there's all these minute situations involving obstacles, other players and things that if you press a button at just the right time, it can cause all sorts of stuff to just kind of chain reactify. And that's a very satisfying button press that's just dependent on situation. You feel smart for waiting for the exact right moment. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, I think there's some like Rube Goldberginess to some of these kinds of things where if you hit the button at the right time, like in Peggle or whatever, some cool chain of events happens. It's maybe not that satisfying though.
I think it's all about Peggle now that you mention it.
All about Peggle.
Man, Peggle could be so good.
It could be.
Just a couple of tweets.
Oh wait, I wanted to also say one more thing, which is that Dompachi Dodompachi series, the button where you can go from the tiny spread shot into the steady stream shot, but it also changes the way your ship moves. I think that it's a very satisfying button press because it does two different things, and you can see the payoff and the limitation of it immediately. It's pretty
amazing. Like the gear shift button in R-Type Final as well. I mean, I could sit here and list buttons. You know, there's a button that changes, makes you go faster.
Yeah, buttons are pretty cool.
I like that button.
Well, just to wrap it all up, my brain for some reason came up with the phrase Peggle exercise, so everyone else needs to hear that as well.
Like, if I had to just pick one, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was pressing and releasing intermittently the B button on the Nintendo Entertainment System in Super Mario Bros. 3.
That's not a single button.
Yeah, it is. It's a single button press to speed up, and then when released, it slows you down. You're holding it down for a second. To speed up and slow down, just the very notion of mitigating your speed by like pressing and then and releasing that button.
I believe in speed run terms, it's 1.5 button presses. So
yeah, thank you. Thank you, Frank.
Wait, is it?
Frank, you think.
Is that a thing?
That's a speed running reference.
Yeah, I bet. Pressing the A button with the other side of your thumb while you're holding that button. That's satisfying, Jerry. Mario is good, period.
We're going to try something new on the show, and maybe it'll go great and become a staple, and maybe we'll never do it again. I want each of you to private message me the name of a game which you believe all three of you have played. I'm eliminating Deadly Premonition because enough is enough already.
I don't think Tim's played that.
Yep.
I have not.
Yep.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't really like playing it. I think it's an awful game to play. I know that's not the point. I just have never been able to really get in past the tutorial.
Okay, I have Frank's.
I want to play it some. Anyway, a game that all three of us have played.
Yeah, private message it.
Oh, God. Hang on. Man, I don't even know how to do that.
Have Brandon.
I don't even know how to use Discord.
That's a problem I often have. Let's get it, Tim.
I hope we all did the same one. There you go.
Oh, two of you did do the same one.
I bet it's me and Tim.
Yes.
For the next 6 minutes, I want all three of you to review Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
Yeah.
Frank, have you played Sonic the Hedgehog 2?
Yes, I've played Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yeah, I knew it.
It's pretty good.
One of the two games I owned for 2 years. So yes, I've played Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Review Sonic 2.
Yeah, how do you review Sonic 2 at this time?
Right, are we reviewing it as if it's 1992?
No, you're reviewing it right now.
It's a good video game. I'm going to tell you something about Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Is I've got an analog Mega SG, and I've got one of those Mega EverDrive Pros. I load up Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I played just all the way through it. You ever do that?
Yes, of course.
Needed a little bit of footage of something specific for a thing I was working on. I just blazed through the whole game until I got to Skyboy Zone. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're on the biplane with Tails, at which point I turned it off.
That is sort of the labyrinth zone of Sonic 2, isn't it?
I mean, just smooth sailing straight to there. You know, frustrations here and there. The game is, can we say it, it's incomplete. There are portions of it that are incomplete. The ant farm level design is quite a beautiful thing to behold from the perspective the game affords you. However, every once in a while you realize that there's a little more madness than method when it comes to the actual level layouts.
Yeah.
However, after resetting from Skyboy Zone, you know what I did? Opened up the sound test, put on Chemical Plant Zone by Masato Nakamura, his best work, including all the albums he has ever produced for Dreams Come True, and I made dinner with that music blasting out my Sonos Arc soundbar. Very recently. How recently, I leave it for you, the listener, to decide. That is my review of Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Yeah, I feel like Sonic 2 is a game that you can appreciate from certain aesthetic points of view, even if you didn't experience it at the time. But I think gameplay-wise, or I should say game feel and progression-wise, I don't know that you could enjoy it today as a young person the same way that you would enjoy it back in the olden times. It does have a lot of neatness to it, and I kind of like the floppy weirdness to it, but at the same time, the higher paths in Sonic 2, they're easier to fall down from, but they're also basically easier to stay up on.
Very confusing sense of balance, yeah.
Yeah, which if you fall down to the lower paths, everything just gets really tough and everything wants to kill you. And so it's like, if you're a less proficient player of the game just punishes you for that. It just gets harder. Mm-hmm. It's not a big motivator to get better. Although at the same time, I do think there are some motivators because you can see the higher paths and know that you can get there and it kind of feels like a goal. Yeah, I think that it's the audio experience of Sonic 2 is probably the most relatable thing in the modern era.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I think Sonic 2, as I'm thinking about it, is the one that really leaned into there being a lot more set pieces, you know, like special events. So things like, you know, the room ceiling shut and the lava flowing up and things like that.
Yeah, gimmick rooms.
Yeah, or even just the final Robotnik boss is a much more sort of gimmicky boss than a typical Sonic boss. And it introduced that aspect into the series. I think it was a good thing to introduce. It led to something that I really appreciate in later games, the level transitions. I really like that they give you the sense of this all being a connected world and there is some transition between the two spaces. But I think I agree with Tim that it's really obvious now in retrospect that the levels are maybe not done. And we know how these games were done. They were drawn on paper and then transcribed. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there was a lot of editing after the fact. Like, oh, that doesn't actually work. It worked on paper, literally, but maybe it doesn't work as well here. And there's a lot of strange sections. And I mean, even just thinking to what Brandon was talking about, it seems like sometimes when you fall down into the lower level, it's not an interesting challenge down there. It's just like not as fun to play down there.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Final thoughts.
Still got those water zones, man.
Final thoughts. I like it. I like the music and the bonus stage. Not too bad. Kind of fun still.
Yeah, the bonus stages are kind of neat. I could see a real game being made out of those, a full game being made out of that style. Should be real easy to make a 3D Sonic game is what it makes me think.
Mm-hmm. I think you only go back to it if you need to just understand the whole breadth of Sonic.
Walking up a hill is a very, very excruciating sensation in any Sonic game, walking from a start. And the spin dash was a Band-Aid.
Okay, this is episode 213. It's been four episodes since our last one, so we're heading back to Violence Island. This is my favorite segment of the show, where I get submissions on forums.insertcredit.com of matchups between video game related and video game adjacent icons or entities. We determine who would win in a fight between them. Then we match up the winners of those fights in an 8-man bracket until we have a winner. Then we retire that winner from Violence Island forever, ... our first match is a Caco Demon from Doom versus Pac-Man.
A Paco Demon.
Two round boys.
Yeah, round boys.
Pac-Man can't really do much more than eat, right?
But Pac-Man has the ability to turn invincible by eating certain things.
If Caco power Demon pellets grow naturally on Violence Island, and I'm going cartoon canon in terms of where pellets come from, they come from trees. Sure.
Coconut trees, yeah.
Jaffe, do we know that?
We know that power pellets come from trees from the cartoon.
No, but I mean, do we know that they grow on Violence Island?
As far as I remember from the cartoon, they only grow in Pac Village.
No. In Violence Island, the most common native tree is a coconut tree. And because of so many visits by Godzilla and his friends, the coconuts have become irradiated, which, according to a friend of mine who is a nuclear physicist, that has the same effect as a power pellet.
As a power pellet?
This is canon. Yeah.
Okay.
The only stipulation is he has to eat them whole. Like, he cannot, milk the coconut.
He's got to eat the whole thing husk.
Yeah, he has to crunch the whole thing, so can Pac-Man bite into a coconut, is the question.
I believe that he can. His power is eating.
I mean, he eats and he does not defecate. He doesn't get larger.
I mean, he can eat entire, keys the size of his body. I think he can eat a whole coconut.
But how big is he? How big is Pac-Man compared to a Caco Demon?
Same size. Good question.
Same size? I feel like Pac-Man is smaller than a Caco Demon.
I don't know. The Caco Demon's about as big as Doom Guy.
Yeah, I think Pac-Man is person height.
I thought Pac-Man was hip height for a person.
He's as tall as a ghost.
He's scaled to regular stuff in Pac-Man 2.
Or maybe regular stuff is scaled to him.
Yeah. In Pac-Land, he's about as tall as a dude. There's houses with doors.
Okay.
So, and then the ghosts have feet. So I assume the ghosts are, well, we know what the ghosts actually, canonically, we know what's under the ghost.
And I can't remember, Kakko demons do not have projectiles, right?
Generally? Oh, they got projectiles, Jerry.
Yes, fire,
oh, they
right?
do? Oh yeah, they have the fire.
You got to go back and play Perfect Hatred, Jerry.
I mean, I just played a whole bunch of Doom 64. I just couldn't remember.
Well, you know, in Doom Eternal, the Kakko demons are punks. They're losers. Did you ever play Doom Eternal? You just do the glory kill on the Kakko demon, and it's just you rip its eyeball out. Really funny the first like 20 times when you hear that cartoon popping sound effect. Though they're losers.
I think. Though them having a projectile gives them a big edge over Pac-Man. Yeah. They could just keep shooting at him. Doesn't matter because they can wait out his power pellet because that's time limited.
But Pac-Man is a really hard guy to hit with a projectile because he doesn't stop moving unless he corners himself.
Yeah, true.
And there aren't that many walls in Violence Island to impede his movement.
Yeah, we don't really know what his true speed range is.
Well, it sounded pretty tough to me.
Well, that said, Pac-Man would have to... His only attack is eating.
Yeah, uh-huh. He has to get right up next to the Kakko demon. Also, Kakko demon can fly, and Pac-Man fly.
I think Pac-Man is flying.
Yeah.
Mm. Is he flying? He's
running on his dumb little legs.
I think Pac-Man is hovering, at best.
Hovering?
If we're doing Pac-Land / Pac-Man cartoon rules, then he has legs.
Have you seen the trailers for the most recent and worst Pac-Man games of all time? The Championship Edition DX2 or whatever? Where when you eat a chain of ghosts, it's like Pac-Man goes like roller coaster high into the sky and the camera zooms out. He's flying up there, man.
No, but that's not Pac-Man. That's Pac-Man Championship Edition.
That's Pac-Man. It's all starring Pac-Man Jerry Bones.
I gotta go Kakko Demon.
Kakko Demon?
Kakko Demon only has one eye, so where's the depth perception?
Yeah, but the projectiles and... I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I think Kakko Demon too.
Our next match is Takahashi Meijin versus Billy Mitchell.
Takahashi Meijin crushes
Takahashi
him.
Meijin, for sure.
He
yeah.
pops his skull like a melon.
Yeah.
I mean, he's cool.
Have you seen that guy? He's ripped.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's got a smashed nose like he's been in a one too many barroom brawls.
Yeah, he got beat up because he was so good.
Yeah, Billy Mitchell would... I mean, his superpower is being defensive.
Right.
But I don't think that really does much... against someone throwing like a stone axe at your head.
Yeah, and Meijin can do the 16 shot. He could just like a pressure point on his temple or something, just flick him 16 times there, and that's it. That's it for Billy Mitchell.
Okay,
16 shots, bonkers.
We don't want to come up with any other scenarios.
No, he's done
beating up Billy Mitchell. Okay,
let's just put it this way: Billy Mitchell never became the CEO of a video game company because of his video game skills.
That's true. All right.
He's just a punk loser like Pac-Man.
Our next one is Shinya the Kacho Arino versus the Angry Video Game.
The Angry Video Game nerd literally is dead. He died in jail. Right?
Yeah,
this is canon.
I've actually never seen any one of that guy's videos because I don't like his name.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what has turned me off toward it, but I have accidentally seen a little bit of it, and it's exactly what you think.
Seems like a nice guy.
So it's 100% Arino, and the reason is Arino is just like a regular, real human being.
Yeah, so he is true to himself, and the Angry Video Game Nerd is a bit, and truth always prevails.
Yes, that's true.
Arino is a bit of a liar, though. Like, I mean, I assume no one here has seen my famous Tokimeki Memorial review, which people constantly in the comments ask if I saw the Tokimeki Memorial episode of Game Center CX. The whole 50-minute segment where I say it's probably impossible to get Shiori on your first try is me just subtweeting that episode. I believe he had assistance.
He may have had.
He has assistance on the show. It wasn't televised.
He is acting like the whole thing is like he got Shiori without consulting any strategy guides or having any help at all. And I don't believe that that's the case. I believe he did Billy Mitchell himself into a situation. I'm talking about being a cheater.
But he still beats the AGVN.
I would say
I'm saying yes, ABGN is a bit. Anino's truth is a bit. And I've got to say, beware more the one who pretends to be genuine. than the one who pretends to be over the top. So I'm saying that dark horseifies this man, and you want to look out when it comes to a dark horse. So okay. That's all I'm saying. I think I already know would kill him sinisterly. It would be disgusting.
Diddy Kong versus Ai-Ai.
Ai-Ai's got a big ball.
Ai-Ai's in a ball. I mean, I know he's not canonically in the ball forever.
Yeah,
they are both
true.
Little monkeys. This is like really a skewing.
I think we should presume that Ai-Ai has the
Yeah, he's got his ball. He's got his ball.
He's in his ball.
I think if Diddy Kong like tried to jump on the ball, he'd just kind of like clip a little bit into the top and there'd be like that spark effect and it just go like, oh, oh. Oh, like over and over like that.
Diddy Kong is legit kidnapped in Donkey Kong Country 3.
Sure.
Dixie's Double Trouble. So Diddy's a loser.
Only losers get kidnapped.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever been kidnapped?
No.
I haven't. And well, no, wait, actually, never mind. I actually have been kidnapped.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a long story. We don't need to get into that.
Is someone rotating the island for him?
No, can he not roll otherwise? I think he can hamster style it.
I think he can roll.
Okay.
He can hamster style it. He can just run his little feet. I think he's going to just knock Diddy Kong into a bottomless pit.
Yeah, I think so too. And someone's going to go, oh, too bad.
Diddy just cartwheels all the time. What's his ability? He can cartwheel off a ledge and then
a little
like
further,
For like 60, 70, 80 frames, he can jump off the ledge. Because the people who made the game also thought like that a lot of Amiga games are okay. That's his ability. That's all he's got. Ai-Ai, what if we assume that the player is Ai-Ai and Ai-Ai is moving the world?
Moving the world. I was thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. What if he's got monster psychic powers? Diddy Kong stands not only no chance. I propose he stands less than a chance.
Okay.
Time for
Dinky
a semifinals.
Kong is the real Kong.
Can Takahashi Meijin kill a Kakodemon?
See, now here's the problem.
Well, he can pop a watermelon with his thumb.
We have matchups of fictional video game characters and real life human beings.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a little difficult.
That's fine.
Doom Guy's a real life human being.
Well, Takahashi Meijin is, it's also the protagonist in Hudson's Adventure Island. Right?
Right. So he can also like skateboard and throw axes and he has got a
That's
helmet.
Canon, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. He can do it. He can do it.
Yeah absolutely.
Because
yeah.
I'm thinking Doom Eternal, like those Kakko demons are glorified turrets.
He can hit a snail with an axe, a giant snail. So you can
not only that, if this man can pop a watermelon with his thumb,
yes.
Like, literally, I'm pretty sure he can chomp down an irradiated coconut.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably got
and get like, Pac-Man powers.
Yeah, he's probably got super monster chompers.
The Kacho versus Ai-Ai.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, Ai-Ai's ball is indestructible as far as the video game is concerned.
And he's got the psychic. I mean, the psychic power might just be...
He's got Inception powers.
We might be Shadow the Hedgehogging this guy, you know?
Oh, like sure. We got to make
one that's
one
the point
person.
Of Violence Island.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Meijin, yeah, I mean, he's just a dude, right? So he's going against an invincible ball.
Yeah, Arno versus Ai-Ai.
Yeah, Arno. No, there's no contest here.
Kacho's got nothing but his Salon Pass patches. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got those. Those don't do nothing. I got the capsaicin ones.
Our last match is Meijin versus Ai-Ai.
No, Meijin all the way.
Really?
You think so?
You think he can break? Oh, you know what? It's probably like the eggs. He's got to throw two axes to break the ball.
Man, you can throw as many axes as you can press the button times per second.
Yeah.
Which is
16.
Horrifying video game design. Very much. It feels more like a programmer accident. I'm sure... More than a few programmer accidents lurk within Takahashi Meijin's personality. And that there's untold, like unheard of things that can be unlocked. Some sort of a kick. He's going to kick him like a soccer ball.
It's a tough one for me because Ai-Ai's ball, I think, is indestructible. But at the same time, so I was thinking about like speed. Meijin has a skateboard, so he can go pretty fast too. So we don't have, that kind of cancels each other out. But then I was thinking...
He's got boomerangs.
Being able to throw axes as fast as you can press a button, and as we know, he can
16 times per second.
16 times per second. He would be able to, and I don't know what the characteristics of Violence Island are, if there's, for example, a volcano in it that's active. He could push Ai-Ai around, I believe.
Yeah, oh, I think so, yeah.
The ball. And so
I think we need to establish there's a volcano on Violence Island.
Okay, so that's where I'm saying it's possible that Meijin could eventually axe Ai-Ai's ball into a volcano. But otherwise, I don't think
remember Takahashi Meijin also has access to boomerangs.
Yes,
it's true.
Which, as we know, are the best weapon.
Mm-hmm. And we did just establish in the Diddy Kong match that there are bottomless pit.
Oh, that's
yeah,
true.
So he's going to knock
okay.
him.
Okay.
I still think he breaks the ball open with two axes, just like an egg. So I
think
don't know.
He could do that as well. Either way,
16 axes.
Sure.
This is a surprising victory to me for Meijin. I had my money on Pac-Man. But yeah, Meijin joins Shadow the Hedgehog, Kratos, and Sephiroth on the Shadow Band list.
Well, that's pretty
all right.
Good.
Now I have to ask you, what's the coronavirus booster shot of video game?
Okay. The N64 expansion pack? No.
No, actually it might be because it's like you kind of need it, but you're not really sure.
When I posed the question, my thinking was, what is the coronavirus booster shot of the coronavirus booster shot? First of all, I think it's, well, we got the vaccine, right? You're telling me they said it's two shots. You're telling me I need a third one. On the other hand, you're telling me I need a third one, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll definitely get it, right? There's also, when you look a little bit further, booster shots are a thing. We get flu shots every year, right? So there's just multiple facets
I mean, that's
to
what
this
it's going
to
be. It's going
to
be like that. But
it's like, you're telling me I need an expansion pack to play Turok 2, Seeds of Evil?
I think
right?
you explain the way you just explained it actually makes me think that it's a day one patch is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we thought we had this all together, but we realized we needed a little more time and a day one patch.
Well, what's the coronavirus vaccine of video games? It's just a video game being launched because it's something highly anticipated.
Yeah.
Because it's something highly anticipated. It's Cyberpunk 2077. Is that what it is? The coronavirus vaccine is
Cyberpunk 2077,
which came out around the same time as the vaccine, I guess.
I think another approach to what is the booster shot, we don't really exactly know that we like need it, but I don't know, might as well.
It's just literally a third shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it buying another Xbox One Elite controller because the end of the year looms and you know you can write it off on your taxes?
That's kind of where I'm going. Yeah, it's a like, you know, we might as well think ahead here, right? So it's, I don't know, it's buying a PlayStation 5 at launch or something like that?
It's buying a PlayStation 5 because you saw one at the store and you already have one? Is that what it is? I'm not going to lie. If I ever see a PlayStation 5 in a store,
I'll buy it. Yeah.
I will buy it. And then I will sell it at
sell it to me.
Retail cost
to me please.
To someone. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, possibly you. Is there anybody out there who needs an NVIDIA RTX 3080 Ti? Because I saw one at Micro Center today, and I just bought it. And I've been doing this. I think I mentioned this before. I'm a bit of an anti-scalper, and I've just been selling things at the cost value. So if anybody needs a 3080 Ti, let me know. I'll sell it to you at the exact cost.
I just want to say about this booster shot, I think we are learning that it is necessary.
Rapidly.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're learning with each Cyberpunk patch as well, is that this game came out, we've been waiting for it, and it's like, what, but it didn't work? It's not enough? I need more now? They're releasing version 2.2, 2.122, 2.262.
It's the day one patch and all patches thereafter.
Just a patch for a hotly anticipated video game. Maybe it's Witcher 3 DLC.
Man, I love hearing that dog toy back there.
It's great.
Yeah, what is happening with that dog toy? It's Bibbethy's over there. He's on the yoga mat.
Is he having a good time?
Loves being on yoga mats. What's the yoga mat of video games? That's a question.
Dogs love mats in general.
That's the Wii Fit balance board.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No.
I think it is.
No.
Yeah.
You're not thinking of a yoga mat. You're thinking of a yoga mat as a venue for performing yoga. You're not thinking of it as what it means for a person's life.
Yeah, so it's more like
no,
the
I think it's still a Wii Fit balance board.
No, that's not a yoga mat, Jaffy.
All right.
It's time for you to admit you've never done yoga on a yoga mat, have you?
I haven't.
See, there we go. Coronavirus booster shot of video games is the first DLC for a hotly anticipated game that launched below critical expectations.
A patch, not a DLC, I would say.
It's not DLC, yeah, because DLC...
DLC. Have you seen those No Man's Sky DLCs, though?
DLC is entirely optional.
That's true. Yeah.
DLC is not the main game to me, so it is...
According to the government of New York State, the coronavirus booster shot is not exactly mandatory, which is...
How about this?
Very,
I got it. I got it. It is the Switch port of a game you already own and like coming out.
Ah,
that's pretty good. That's pretty tasty.
Good answer.
I think it's still more necessary than that, though. I'm sticking with patch, but we don't all have to agree on this one.
I think it's maybe not a day one patch, the Cyberpunk version 1.2 patch that came out hotly anticipated 2.5 months
after the game. It's the patch that makes it playable on PlayStation 4 again.
Yeah, well, that one never actually happened. PlayStation 4, man, people gotta stop. Okay, so first of all, I posted a review of Cyberpunk 2077 that many people listening to this might have watched or at least heard of. I do not stop getting asked really weird questions about Cyberpunk 2077. And I gotta say, people gotta let go of the PlayStation 4 thing. The PlayStation 4 was an 8-year-old console. They should not have released it on the PlayStation 4, man. You know, they just shouldn't have done it. It's like basically like releasing a Nintendo 64 version of Metal Gear Solid 3 is like what it's like. That's off the top of my head. They just shouldn't have done it. They should have quietly backed out, and they should have waited and just released it on PlayStation 5.
I'd check out Metal Gear Solid 3 on the N64, though.
Yeah, I actually would play that. I played Hybrid Heaven on the N64. Loved it.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, love that game. Beautiful game.
How would you like to do a lightning round, friends?
Hey, why not?
Yeah, kill me.
All right. Here's a game where I'm going to name a PlayStation trophy and the game it's from.
Okay.
And you have to guess how you get that trophy.
Oh, my God. Is this segment called Trophy Life?
Sure. It is called Trophy Life.
There you go.
It's called that right now.
Yeah, it's called Trophy Life.
Your first trophy is Citizen from the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Get to the first big city.
Brandon is right. You buy a house.
Nice.
Oh, that sucks.
Numismatist from The Last of Us Part 2.
I refuse to answer this question.
When you defeat the old mismatist.
Not the old mismatist. When you defeat the currently serving mismatist.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah, you become the new mismatist yourself.
Yep, that's it.
Thailand.
No, it's when you find all the coins.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
because
that is
a numismatist is a coin collector.
That is true.
Is that right?
Unwelcome guest, Demon Soul.
Oh, it's when you go into someone else's game.
It's when you defeat a phantom.
Right. Brandon is right. It's when you vanquish another player in their game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trusty Steed, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, I know that one. I don't want to say what that one is.
You're keeping. Okay. You have kept your original horse alive for some amount of time.
Good answer. Did anyone else want to guess?
Man, I didn't play Red Dead Redemption 2. I feel like I know this somehow.
You should play that one. I think you'd like that game.
Give it a shot.
It's real long, but it's worth it.
Tim, do you know this one?
I believe I know this one. Is it when you... Okay, I mean, it's one of two things. Is it when you buy a horse because you're required to buy one in the game?
No, it is not.
Is it when your horse dies as part of the story?
It's when you reach the max bonding level with your horse.
Oh, man, I was going to talk about some sort of maxing out with your horse, but I didn't know what you maxed in it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna confess right now, I turned all notifications off on all my game consoles.
Oh, yeah.
Bibby's getting angry. So I don't know the names of any achievements unless I look at them derisively.
Yeah, he wants you to turn your notifications back on.
I ain't going to
do it. He's an agent.
Top of the pecking order, Far Cry 6.
It's when you kill the biggest eagle.
It is, I don't know, maybe there's some sort of land grabbing mechanic and you've grabbed all the land.
I think it's when you finally complete the Woody Woodpecker DLC.
It's some sort of faction related thing. Can I just say
no.
What?
It's actually, there is a cockfighting mini game in Far Cry 6.
Right. Oh,
that's
so
tacky. And
when
you win a cockfighting match, you get this.
What is the real life equivalent of playing a Far Cry game? That's my question. what does a person who's excited about Far Cry do elsewise in their life? I don't understand.
I think they're really excited about Happy Hour.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think there's like, they're really excited about one particular soccer matchup every year, but they don't watch any of the other games. I don't know what
that
means.
That's interesting. Yeah.
There's like one soccer matchup. It's like American Major League Soccer.
My dad is like that with football. He's got to watch Michigan and Ohio State or whatever.
Well, I mean, am I like that? I watch the Super Bowl. That's my football.
No, the Super Bowl is excusable.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Okay.
I think that's the halo of watching sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the halo.
I'll have two number nines, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
You have eaten every fast food item.
I was going to say you blow up a fast food restaurant and then teabag the owner.
Brandon?
I don't know.
it's when you reach the maximum weight in the video game.
Oh, in San Andreas. Okay.
Yeah, in San Andreas. Yeah.
Two number nines. It's something about America as written by Scottish people. There's no number nine. I mean, maybe there is, but it's like... That doesn't.
Yeah,
doesn't
it's like compute. It's like in an anime when they go to New York within the context of the anime, and they're like, "Yes, I'll have set menu number A."
I recently played Grand Theft Auto 5, really good game with some trash in it, and then Red Dead Redemption 2 is meticulous.
Deadball Specialist FIFA 22.
Oh, it's when you get kicked in the groin too many times. It is dead ball specialist.
I don't know what dead ball means in soccer, but it's got to mean something.
I know what it means, but it's more fun to pretend I don't.
It's whatever that means in soccer. It happens. I don't.
It's when you score a goal from a free kick.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Makes break sense. So shot. The ball's not in motion. That's a dead ball. Okay.
So is it what you do like five of those? Are we supposed to guess at numerals? Yeah. So you're 10
no, you
of
just
those?
Score one goal and you get it.
That you're a specialist doing it once?
Yeah.
I was in England for about 30 minutes, and I let a girl ahead of me to get her tea. She called me brilliant for that.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah,
that's,
for that.
That's fair.
All right, all right.
So you're a specialist if you do something once, I suppose. You're a real specialist, mate. That's a
break shot Rocket League.
It's basically you play a game that sucks and wait for a trophy to pop. That's that one.
I'm almost tempted to count that.
Break shot is, man, I feel like it's when you, a goal while...
Somebody else accidentally jostles the ball and then you like accidentally hit into it while ramping and then it goes in.
That's kind of what I was going to say is that you're in a clutch of cars and you still score a goal while, surrounded by a bunch of
Rocket League is fun. It's just I remember for a while people were posting like highlights on Twitter and I was just like man, I'd rather watch a video of someone taking a dump, you know.
Frank,
it's
like you have
it seems too personal.
No, I don't have a guess.
All right, break shot is when you score a goal by hitting your opponent into the ball.
Oh. Okay, that's a thing.
Dangerous Skies God of War.
Oh, it's when you kill the big bird.
Which God of War?
The most recent God of War.
Okay. Oh, I guess PlayStation 2 wouldn't have any. Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, there's... Well, unless they added a collection.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's true.
They didn't do that. It's when you play it on backwards compatibility and they added trophies. That's a joke. They would never do that because they're psychos over it.
Dangerous
What was the
skies.
Name of the thing again?
Dangerous Skies.
Dangerous Skies.
There's probably some boss that you beat that's a big bird, some sort of rock bird that came back from the first game or something.
Does that have something to do with this? Is there like a dragon? Does that have something to do with a dragon?
It kind of does, yes.
I know there's dragons that I didn't ever really encounter. I really keep meaning to play that game again.
Can you ride a dragon? If you can do that, then I think it's that.
Weren't there some DLCs? Was there a DLC? Is it a DLC trophy?
No.
I got a lot of trophies in God of War. I know because I had to do a video about... Don't tell anyone. I had to do a video about, like trophies and tips. So I actually know a little bit about those trophies.
I haven't played the new God of War. My understanding is that it's a game that makes you like feel good if you're a father.
Frank, you got a 3080, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Well, it's coming out on PC in January.
I know.
I would honestly recommend it.
Yeah,
I
played the original God of War and had a fun time. So.
My estimation of it has just grown with age. I like it. I mean, I liked it when I first played it, and I just like it more the more I think about it. I think it's a genuinely great, fun game.
Well,
to play.
I was going to say that you teach your son to use an umbrella. That's what I think.
Dangerous Skies is when you free the dragons.
Oh, it is the dragons. Okay.
Yeah. And your last one is Witness Protection in Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, I don't know if I got that one.
I still haven't played it. I would like to, but I assume it's completing an escort mission.
Nope. Any more guesses?
Well, dang it.
Witness Protection.
There's a guy who sees something, and you make sure he doesn't get killed.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. Like, there's a moment in the game where it's very likely that a person gets killed, but if you're fast enough, you save them.
It's when your horse dies.
It's actually the opposite. It's when you shoot an enemy that's running away with an arrow. If you leave one enemy alive and they try to run and you shoot them so they don't get away, you get that trophy.
Why is that a witness protection?
I don't know.
I probably got that one. It's not protection at all.
Brandon, you are our winner this week. Congratulations.
Oh, that's weird.
Because I got two of them.
You get to come up with the question next week.
Oh, I didn't know you were supposed to get them right.
Only if you want to win. This is the point of the show where we make our recommendations to our listeners for stuff they should do. We've done a bunch of them this episode, but if there are any more you want to squeeze in here at the end, now's your chance.
Why the heck not? I got Regency Solitaire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's like solitaire, but there's your lady.
It is.
I believe you mentioned that last time.
Did I actually put it in
the
episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. Then let me delete that.
Double recommend it then.
I'm playing through it on hard now, so I'm double recommending. There's
the game's
also
so nice you wrecked it twice.
There's also Cruise and Blast. That's another video game that I'm enjoying right now. I don't know if have any of you played this.
Is it about cruising and blasting?
It's about cruising and blasting. So Cruise and Blast was an arcade game put out by Rothrills, and then they ported it to consoles. It's on the Switch right now, and it's dumb as heck. And I think if you like stuff that's dumb as heck, you'll enjoy it. It's not very heavily modified from its arcade version, except that you don't have to insert coins when you lose.
There's no coins anymore.
Yeah, credits.
Yeah, it's all some weird tap card that you get topped up.
It's true. Each map or track is like, it takes like a minute to a minute and a half to complete each one. And each circuit is, I think, four or five of those. So you can beat a circuit in 5-6 minutes. It's really breezy. The idea is you go through it a bunch of times, find the different routes, get the keys, get more cars. It's pretty content light, but like if you want to just have a dumb old time flomping around through a video game, like you know the ideal insert credit score is a 7. This one's a solid 6, I would say, but in an amusing and pleasant way.
Solid 6, mate.
Yeah, so I would recommend Cruise and Blast because, I mean, it's just straight for the nonsense. You can do wheelies in your car anytime you want. You can do
or
flips.
Just by pressing the wheelie button.
In your car, yeah.
Can you press a button to do a car melee attack that causes your car to sideswipe to the side?
I mean, almost.
Because that's my favorite feature from Vin Diesel's Wheelman.
So you can drift, and while drifting, you can smash cars into obstacles or the side of the course and they'll just explode. And sometimes if you're doing a side wheelie, you can slam a car into something, or you can land on top of them after a jump. Yeah, you can blow up cars. I don't really know what effect that has. I don't know if they actually disappear. There's very little feedback about anything other than going
in real
fast.
Life they do when yeah, you knock them true. Off the road. You ever do that Pacific Coast Highway late at night, knock them off there? You ever do that?
I got knocked off the road once last time I drove a car.
Oh, nice. Dang, really?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
I was like 25. I haven't driven a car since.
Shoot.
Uh-huh.
Spooky.
Driving a car can be fun.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's also serious business.
Well, those are my recommendations. That's what I got.
Frank, do you have any recommendations?
No, not off the top of my head. I mean, moving house and, I don't know, watching that Hawkeye, because that's just kind of what you do.
What I do.
I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that at some point, because I got to see
it. I actually really like the comics, so...
David Asia Matt Fraction run is pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. Recommend that. Sure. Go read the Matt Fraction Hawkeye comics. It's
there you go.
It's maybe the only. So every time I watch one of these Marvel things and it's pretty good, I get that brief thought like I should go read the comics, and then I remember that doesn't really work. It actually kind of works with Hawkeye. So you go seek out, go look for the comics that have the logo that's the same logo as the show. You'll be in for a pretty good time.
Oh, the same, that logo that looks like it's somebody made it on a Mac in like 1998. I love it, actually. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm ready to watch that show. I have a recommendation. It's a little bit of a difficult one, though. I've actually never recommended my own Patreon on here for good reason, because I just don't think you should back me on Patreon. That's a joke. You can if you want. There's been some developments regarding bonus content on my Patreon. As you listen to this, there may actually be some bonus content up there already. So it's patreon.com/actionbutton. I would like to most formally say that I have finally worked out some various details for beginning the Action Button podcast. And so if you would like to know more about that, check out the Patreon.
Oh, cool.
Where once per month, myself and a co-host will luxuriate for about 2 hours about a video game that I don't have time to review. On Action Button, though, a video game I replayed and just kind of feel like talking about. And I would love everyone to tune in sometime next month. It's taken a while to get it all together. Sometime next month, we will be doing our first episode of the Action Button podcast. a 2 hour or so discussion focused on various topics of the wonderful video game Bullet Witch by Cavia.
Ooh.
And joining me will be co-host Brandon Sheffield. It's going to be real good.
Oh, that sounds great.
We're going to both play the game before, like one more time. Just one more time. You only got to play it once, and then we're going to talk about it.
I'm going to listen to that. I like
that's the Action Button podcast. Is it a Patreon exclusive? No. Though you'll feel cool if you watch it, if you get it on the Patreon.
I would like to recommend JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stone Ocean. The first 12 episodes of that just came out.
Or am I confusing you with someone else? Have you seen all of you just don't like most of JoJo, right?
I was about to say, I've watched all of JoJo up to this point, but
you just don't like
I'm
most
the kind
of
guy
it.
Who's like, I kind of miss
you like part
what
two
this
the most
show was back in part two.
You missed, yeah, you like part two. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like the part two stuff, you're really going to like the part six stuff.
If you like the part two stuff, you're really going to like the part seven
stuff.
And
you know, if you like the part three and four stuff, as a lot of people do, you'll like the part six stuff too. It's where all the JoJo stuff kind of comes together.
Anyone who doesn't like every single part of JoJo is deranged, in my opinion.
I found something to like, but two's my favorite.
If you like none of it, go ahead and die. And then also, once you've done that, see if I care. I think I do hear a lot of people saying they like two the most. I think Mimsy likes two the most, right?
Huh.
Oh, she likes four the most now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people like three, and I think three and four are the most popular segments.
Four has become more popular because it's now an anime that you can watch on TV, and it is accessible to Western audiences. And
so now six is an anime, and I really love it.
It somewhat resembles Persona. Is it an accurate portrayal of your home state?
Florida? Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yes. That's why.
I love Stone Ocean. I love Stone Ocean.
Ocean rules.
I read Stone Ocean like 40 times, dude. I love Stone Ocean. And I'm really into it. Again, when JoJo first was announced as an anime, I was upset. Because I was like, man, you can't make a good anime about JoJo. It's too interesting. And then, you know, it's extremely good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they're knocking it out of the park. The David production.
So that's my recommendation.
No relation to Larry. Is Larry David? Actually, does he work at David production?
I don't think so.
That's why, I don't know. That's my joke about their name. Do they make DVDs?
Let's figure out what Larry David's stand is another time.
Oh my God, yeah. The all JoJo episode.
Yeah, yeah. Boko JoJo. I would like to recommend that if you're listening to this show on any platform where you can subscribe to or review podcasts, that you do that for us. It's a very nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. You could also go to patreon.com/insertcredit or patreon.com/actionbutton. Why not? Or you could become a patron to submit your own topics. Get regular episodes one day early for the time being, and even access monthly bonus episodes for other exclusive content and secret surprises.
Do you just need to keep giving them one day early until the current month is up? And then yank the rug. I told you, subscribe to the Patreon and you'll get a surprise.
Yeah, you'll get a surprise. You can join us on forums.insertcredit.com and follow us on Twitter. The show is at InsertCredit. I'm Alex Jaffe. Frank is Frank Cifaldi. Tim is 108. Brandon is Necro Softy. This show is edited by Esper Quinn with music by Kurt Feldman. I'm Alex Jaffe.
I'm Frank Cifaldi.
I'm Tim Rogers.
I'm Brandon Sheffield.
And you have now saved your game.
My soundboard isn't working lately. I don't know why. I wanted to press the Mario going, "Oh!" sound like 65 times.
I've noticed based on the fact that you haven't used it at all.
Oh, yeah. I would have used it if I had it. Use it if
you
got it, as they say. Use it if you got it. It's wonderful. It's really fun to have. It's the software fell off, man. I don't know.
Esper's been putting some sound effects in the show, but they've been very sparing about it because they don't want to turn it into drive time radio. But I'm like, just turn it up. People love it.
I have my certification for using a soundboard.
Your DJ certification.
Yeah, I received a permission slip from the soundboard authority. I'm allowed to use a soundboard all I want. Software fell off.